So we are in Pirkei Avot, chapter 2. And we are talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a very big sage. He was the chief rabbi of Israel. The time of the Roman persecution, and the time of the destruction of the second temple. 70 CE. We're talking about nearly 2,000 years ago, 70 CE. Imagine the picture over here. The Romans are camped around Yerushalayim. It's a terrible thing. They sent their best soldiers to destroy Jerusalem. And they're camped around Jerusalem for over a year, and they can't break through the walls because they're very well fortified. Until the Jews itself, there was 24 sects of Jews at that time, fighting each other. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And they were not united. This way the Romans broke through. And when they got in, Josephus, we don't know if his account is reliable or not, it says they found the streets littered with blood. Why? Because the Jews had killed themselves, killed each other. Terrible. They were fighting each other. That's his account. We don't know how reliable his account is. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the rabbi at that time. And he had five students, which we talked about. Five students, five great students. And this is the question he asked them. He asked his students, Ezohi derech ishara. What is the best way, what is the best path in life that a person should cling to? What are the best traits that a person should cling to in their lives? And through these traits, this main trait, you'll work on other traits. There's a main trait. What main trait do we have that will change our attitude to life and improve our lives? So here we have all the five different opinions over here. Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hukkanus, he says, the best trait is ayin tova, a good eye. What is a good eye? It's the opposite of a bad eye. Okay, very good. What is a bad eye? What is a good eye? Okay. So what is a good eye? What is a bad eye? Number one is, what is a bad eye? Who is the classic person with a bad eye? I'll give you a clue. Next week's parasha. Bil'am. Bil'am, the evil prophet. Which is dichotomy. How can he be an evil prophet? How can he be a prophet? They are evil. Bil'am, the evil prophet, had a bad eye. What do you mean bad eye? A bad eye is whenever you see something or somebody, you always find something bad to see. You focus on the bad that you see. Some people have very good, they're very good at criticizing. That means they have bad eyes. What do you mean bad eye? When they see someone, they say, look, his tie is not on properly, and he looks disheveled, and he looks this, and he looks that looks tired. Always looking at bad things. Or, when you look at a cup which is half full, you say it's half full, or you say it's half empty. Two perspectives of life. So a person with a good eye would say, wow, my cup is half full. And a person with a bad eye would say, my cup is half empty. You see, some people come in here and they say, air conditioning is too high. The air conditioning is too low. Air conditioning too high. Too low. Too high. Too high. But look, we have air conditioning. Thank God we have air conditioning. Right? So, it's a perspective on life. A good eye is a perspective in life. You go through somewhere and you see a beautiful house. And one says, wow, that house is beautiful. I hope the owner of the house will really benefit from that house. I hope he'll enjoy his life in that house. That is a very good eye. Why? Not only is he not criticizing, it's blessing. That is a very, very good eye. And a person with a good eye, it means his heart is good. It means the heart is also good because they're seeing things and they're thinking good thoughts. If a person sees something and they think good thoughts, Hashem blesses them as well. If we think good thoughts about others, Hashem blesses us with those same good thoughts. A mean person says, well, look, oh, his neighbor bought a brand new car. He doesn't deserve it. Who is he? Why is he buying a car? How could he afford it? He starts criticizing and finding ways to criticize. Oh, he bought that car. Why did he buy that car? He's an idiot. Da, 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 da. So instead of saying good things, because he sees good things, what's it called? A rose-colored glasses. You see the world with rose-colored glasses, right, Rose? You see a world with rose-colored glasses, which means everything is hunky-dory. Right? So you go to Israel, like the spies. You go to Israel. The fruits are big, the fruits are this, but you know what? They're giants, we can't conquer them. So you get bad perspective. We have Caleb and Yeshua who says, what do you mean we can't conquer them? If Hashem is with us, we'll conquer anything. If God is with us, why can't we conquer? So it's all perspectives. It's like, I have a guy in the shul who's a pessimist. Total. I'm optimist, and he's a pessimist. So everything he's going to me yesterday, he's going like this. I'm going like this, he's going like this. Thank God I didn't have time to talk to him, but that was enough, you know. He gave me the sign. So what do you do with a pessimist? And the answer is, you got to look at things with a good eye. And you enjoy as well. You go through life enjoying life because you have a good eye on things. But if you go through life pessimistic and criticism and this and that, what kind of life are you having? It's hurting you. And you know what? Enough people say, I don't want to listen to this guy. He's a pessimist. And this happened to one of our prophets, Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was a prophet. Unfortunately, this is prophecy. You can't hide your prophecy. His prophecy was gloom and doom. His prophecy was, Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. You guys are going to throw. But he had a good positive message. His positive message was, do teshuva. If you do teshuva, nothing's going to happen. Made him want to listen. All they heard was a negative. So that's very important. And that's what we learned already with Hillel. Hillel says, be positive. Ohev shalom, love peace. Rodef shalom, run after peace. Ohev dabriyot, love people. Bring them close to Torah. That was Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen, Aaron the priest, we talked about yesterday. He passed away in yesterday's Sedra, right? In Hukat, Parshat Hukat. And the whole house of Israel mourns for him for 30 days. Imagine, all the Jewish people mourned for him for 30 days. Why? He's a positive person. He was a loving person. They knew he loved them. And therefore they mourned for him. The whole house of Israel mourned for him. Then you see all the Jews mourning for someone. You don't find. So he was a great person. But he followed this path of an ayin tova, of a good eye. Always see things and look at them with rose-colored glasses. It's good. Find the good in people. Find the good in the situation. So hard to find the good in the situation. Find the good. Whenever you see something, find the good in it. Look for the good in it. Don't look for the bad in it. Look for the good in it. Okay, so it's very hard to do that. A person needs a positive attitude to life. Spin life. With a positive attitude. A person's got to spin life. Gamzu letova. And this is Nachamish Gamzu. was amazing. Who could reach that level? Where you see something bad and you say, it's good. I mean, this story blows me away. I've said this story before, but every time I would say it, it blows me away. What? The story is, he's going to Rome with a bundle of treasure to give to Caesar. That night, he's staying in a hotel and he gets robbed. And what do they do? Instead of putting the gold inside his container, they fill it with earth. He wakes up in the morning, opens the container, he sees earth inside instead of treasures. What does he say? Gam zu letova. Even this is good. Even this is good. Even this is good. The bad is good. He knows bad is good. Why is bad good? Let's see the story. So with me, I'd go back to Israel and say, listen, I can't go to Caesar with a box of earth. He says, no. God wants it this way. I'm going to go to Caesar. He's going to Caesar with a box of earth. He goes to Caesar with a box of earth. I have a present from you from the Jewish people. He opens the box, earth. Put him in jail, madman. One of the nobles says, he can't be. Jews are not mad. They're smart people. Try, maybe it's magic earth. In those days, believe in magic. Maybe it's magic earth, because I heard that Abraham Avinu, when he threw the earth at people, it became turned into arrows and spears when he fought the four kings. Oh. It's a midrash. So Caesar says, okay, we're fighting a war with the Germans. The Romans were, and the Germans were fighting all the time. And the Germans eventually conquered Rome, right? Yeah, know that. So we'll try it. So next war they have, they throw the earth at the Germans, and the Germans run. Something happened, it scared them, they ran. We won the war, the earth is magic, it's really magic. So instead of him going back with an empty container, they filled it with jewels, and they sent it back. Imagine, he gave them earth,
and he
got jewel back. This is a reward for you, for the magic earth, that helped us defeat the Germans. Imagine, Gam Zura Tova. Where does he go? He goes back to the same hotel that they robbed him.
Oh, great.
I wouldn't do this. Listen, he trusted in God so much. Whatever God does is for the best. He trusted in God so much. Goes back to the hotel. People say, what? What happened? He said, well, I had this magic earth in my box. Someone put magic earth in my box. And I gave it to Caesar and he gave him back gold. So these guys in the hotel, they say, wow, this is great. That earth came from our backyard. They dug up a whole bunch of earth, put it in a container, and they take it to Caesar and say, Caesar, you know, the rabbi brought you magic earth. It was from our backyard. This is the magic earth. So the next war, Caesar tried it out, and the Romans lost the war.
Right.
It didn't work. And so he had them arrested and killed. So the robbers got arrested, and the rabbi got away with treasures. That's Nachum Ishgamz, his faith. Your faith creates your reality. It's very, very powerful. We talked about this. The power of thinking. Power of your thoughts. Your faith creates your reality. If you really believe it, it will happen. The Rambam says this when he talks about the resurrection of the dead. If you believe the dead are going to be resurrected, you will be resurrected. If you believe in Gan Eden, you'll go to Gan Eden. If you believe in Olam Abba, you will have Olam Abba. If you don't believe it, for you it doesn't exist. We live through our beliefs. It's amazing. If you believe in God is with you, God is with you. You believe God is not with you, God is not with you. Your beliefs create it. It's amazing. So a person has to believe the power of positive thought. A person has to believe in certain things. The belief system creates something. So that's a good eye. A good eye. A person sees the good in people. On the one hand, you've got to have to see the good in people. Don't be too naive, though. And that's the danger. The danger is you're naive. But you know what? It's better to be naive and see good than be critical and see bad all the time. It's better not to be critical all the time and say, this is bad, and this is bad. You know, the famous story says, a woman had a terrible cataract. And she had cataract surgery. And so the daughter takes her up to the attic so that she will see a beautiful view. When she takes off the blindfold, she'll see this most beautiful, gorgeous view of the trees and the valley and everything. And she takes her mother up to the attic. Ma, we're going to open your eyes. You're going to see after your surgery. She opens her eyes. And the ma says, this windowsill is so dirty. Who didn't clean it? And what she noticed was the bad, not the good. So looking at the view and enjoying the view, she's so dirty over here.
Obviously, she could see well.
She could see well, right. So instead of saying, Baruch Hashem, I can see well, Baruch Hashem, everything's good. Oh, no, the dirty
the
over here.
Wasn't good.
Huh?
I thought you meant the surgery.
No, the surgery was very good. Very good. And she even saw the dirt. That's the trouble she saw.
Which you probably would never have seen.
Instead of noticing the good, notice the bad. Right. So it's very important to have rose-colored glasses. A person think of the good things in their lives. Count all the positives in their life. And believe Hashem can make it better. Listen, Gamzu is over. Hashem is powerful. We don't realize he's all powerful, right? We talked about David HaMelech says in Tehillim. He says, "Harchepicha v'amalehu." When you're praying, pray for big things. Don't pray for small things. Pray for biggest things. Pray for whatever you want. Open your eyes. Pray big things. So it's important to pray big things. Why? Because it shows you have faith in God. Hashem says, "Please, Hashem, can you provide me with a dime? I need a dime. I'm short of a dime." Hashem says, I'm making a mockery of me. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu. He tells God, the Jews are praying for meat. Hashem says, what's the problem? I'll provide meat. He says, how can you provide meat? There's millions of people. Hashem says, what? Hayad Hashem Tiksar? Is my hand small? Moshe Rabbeinu, wake up. You don't know who you're dealing with. And Moshe Rabbeinu went into that. Imagine. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't realize if Hashem wants to provide, he'll provide for millions of people. Pray for
little things like a button,
Why pray for a button? Pray for a brand new dress.
I learned that even small things you should pray for. I mean, that's yeah. Like there was a story.
Don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself to small things. What I'm saying is, don't limit yourself. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can pray for anything you want. A lot of people just limit themselves to small things. And Hashem says, well, I'm your father. I'll give you, why limit yourself? Obviously, not always are we answered. Hashem says, why do you need so much for? give me a reason. But a person could have reasons. Why do you need this? You know, I just saw an amazing movie of this Israeli. And very, very successful businessman. Being a very, very successful, one of the big builders in Israel. Big builders in Israel. He started off. He says he never even finished high school. He would work any opportunity for work. He would work at a bakery. 7, 8 years old, he's already taking buns out of the bakery. He's working nonstop. This kid go to school and work nights until eventually it says he became one of these do-it-yourself guys, fixer-uppers. Mm-hmm. And then he got involved with bad company and he lost all his business. He says, I'm going to start again from scratch. And Hashem is going to help me. And today, if you ask him, who helped you? How do you do this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He tells you straight. It wasn't me, it was God. Right? But he had the vision, he's going to succeed. He had the faith, I'm going to succeed. If you have faith, you're going to succeed. You're going to succeed. Very simple. You have faith in God, I'm going to succeed. Hashem says, you have faith in me, you're going to succeed. Says the faith, which is very, very critical. For that faith. So instead of a person saying, you know, my friend, he bought a brand new car, I feel bad, and it's getting to me, and I hate him, and I hope he dies, and these are people with a bad eye. That's a bad eye. That's Bilam. Bilam saw the Jewish people living in the camps, in their beautiful structured camps, and it says the doors were not facing each other because they had privacy. Each one has their own privacy. And Bilam curses them out. His blessing was a curse, the rabbis say. His blessings were curses. Why? It made the Jews feel good. His blessing, look, means we're tzaddikim. If we're righteous, we don't have to pay so much attention. Moshe Rabbeinu is always criticizing us, and he's always blessing us. The blessings went to their head and made them proud, and that's caused them to stumble. So, the bad eye has an effect. So amazing. A person sees something, that bad eye, that's in our Sephardim, it's interesting, not Ashkenazim. Sephardim put it in the Birkat HaShachar. In the blessings in the morning, you'll find in the Sephardic prayer book, please save us from Havera, Shachenra, Ainara. Save us from the Ainara.
Evil eye.
Ashkenazim take it, don't put it in the prayer book. It's interesting, it's not in the prayer book. No. Well, they do, but they believe more than anyone else. They say, Kanayin Hara, Kanayin Hara, Kanayin Hara. Sorry, we don't say Kanayin Hara. But it's interesting, but our prayers save us from the evil eye. What is an evil eye? So you said a person who looks at someone and says, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. This guy doesn't deserve so much goodness. Hashem says, let's check if he deserves it. They trigger an accusation in the world above. That's the Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara triggers an accusation in the world above. Why does this guy have this thing? He doesn't deserve it. Why does he have so many children? Doesn't deserve it. Why does he have a beautiful house? Doesn't deserve it. Hashem said, let's check if he does deserve it. It's starting accusation in the world above. So, the student Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Lezer says, good eye. A good eye means a person who says, not only do I like what you got, Hashem should bless you that you should have more. How many people do you know? A person buys a new house to Hashem should bless you. You should enjoy your house and live in the house. And many blessings in your house. And all your children should get married. And you should be prosperous and healthy. How many people do you know that give you blessings non-stop? I know my mother-in-law is like that. Give you 100 blessings. She gives it. It's amazing. So if you give someone blessings, it means you have to be full of blessings yourself. Because a lot of people feel, if I give a blessing, I'm losing out. Hashem is an unlimited source of blessings. Just because you... Because he's a millionaire doesn't mean you can't be a millionaire. Right? Just because his store is doing well doesn't mean your store can't do well. You know, famous story, the guy goes to Chafetz Chaim, he says, Rabbi, he says, why, how come? My neighbor opened a store down the block, his store is booming, and my store is not booming. He says, because he's running one store and you're trying to run two stores. Your mind is in his store. Focus in your store.
Right.
Focus on yourself. Why are you worried about someone else? Have a good eye. It's very hard, I'm telling you. So you go to a place like Deal, you look at the house and say, wow. And a little bit of jealousy gets into the person and says, that guy doesn't deserve it. How come I don't have it? That's jealousy. That's the evil eye. A good eye is, let him have a bigger house. I don't care. Hashem will bless me too. That's a good eye. And a good eye is rewarded. That's an important trait. Have a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua says, one of the best things you can have in life is a good friend. Better than a good eye is a good friend. Why? A good friend is someone not just you have a good time with, but is also a moral person. They'll always remind you if you're doing something wrong. Right? That's the wife's job, by the way. So the wife's job is always to remind the husband, you know. I say a wife's job is Ezer Konekdor. What's Ezer Konekdor? It's gas and brakes. When he's doing the right thing, Ezer, push the gas. When he's doing the wrong thing, you have to put the brakes. Ezer, doing the right thing, Ezer, gas, push the gas. Doing the wrong thing, Konekdor, push the brakes. Sometimes people get confused. They push the brakes on the wrong thing, push the gas on the right thing. The guy is good learning Torah, and the woman says, don't learn so much. I need more time with you. So good. She's putting the brakes on the good thing. And then the bad thing, you don't put the brakes on. You know, the joke is that this couple was married for 80 years. So how can you last so long? So we always had two nights out a week. Tuesday was his night, and Thursday was my night. It's a joke. Okay. It's a joke. Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer says, good eye. A good eye is so hard to do. We have to really work on having a good eye. Whatever you see, it's nice, it's good. Hashem should bless that person. They got something new. They got. She's wearing a new dress. She's wearing a beautiful necklace. Don't envy it. Don't envy it. You know, it's interesting. In Jewish law, when there's no Eruv, a woman shouldn't wear jewelry. No one listens to this, by the way. No one does this. But it's in Jewish law. It's in Halakha and Shulchan Aruch. Women shouldn't wear jewelry when there's no Eruv. Why? They're walking down the street and someone sees the jewelry and says, wow, it's beautiful jewelry. Can I see it? So a woman takes it off and she's carrying on the street. That's the danger on Shabbat. But that's the way women's minds work. Is they're always looking. Oh, wow, she has beautiful jewelry and she has a beautiful this and she has a beautiful dress. So now what's going in your head? Are you judging her or are you saying Hashem should bless her even more? If you're saying Hashem should bless her even more, that's a good eye. You're saying, where did she get it from? I want to get one like that. Oh, it's also not so bad. You're saying, she doesn't deserve to have it. That's evil eye. That's an evil eye. So only God knows who has a good eye and an evil eye. But it's very important to keep away from people who have bad eyes. Because whatever you have, they desire it and they're jealous of it and they're whatever. So that's why it's not good to flaunt. It's not good to be ostentatious. Try and be private. Or, a person says, I don't care what you think. I don't care what anyone else thinks. Hashem is in charge. Habotech ba'Hashem, chesed yitzolvenu. A person who trusts in God is surrounded by kindness. They have a force shield of kindness. Imagine, what a brilliant thing. Can you imagine? An aura of kindness surrounds that person. Why? They really trust in God. Like this guy, he made a lot of money. He's trusting God. Everything's God. Everything's God. Rabbi Yossi says, so number two. Number one is a good eye. Number two is a good friend. What is a good friend? An ethical person. Someone will help you physically and spiritually to grow.
If you trust everything comes from Hashem, then the evil eye will not affect a person?
100%. If you trust in God, the evil eye cannot affect you. Nothing can affect you. Because God is in control. And that is what Nachum Ish Gamzu believed, right? God is in control. Even if I go to the Caesar with a bunch of earth, he can't touch me. Look what happened. It's amazing. Not only did he not touch him, he gave him back jewelry. He rewarded him. Very blind. A person who really trusts in God, nothing can touch them. And that's a very big secret. Also, there's a rabbi who passed away, and he told his son before he passed away, this was before the Holocaust. He said, whenever you're in trouble, always put it in your head. En od milvado. There's nothing else apart from Hashem. There is no other power on earth except for God. It says, wherever he came close, come on, the Nazis, he had to get out of Poland. He's traveling on the train, and they would come by and look at his papers. He gets scared, but he starts thinking, En omivado, go through. En omivado, go through. He made them all blind. Nothing else. It happened to me. I'll tell you what happened to me. My father passed away. I was in Israel. He's in London. And my brother calls me up. You're not allowed to tell someone bad news over the phone. You have to break it very gently. You're not allowed to give bad news like that because it's very dangerous. You can hurt someone. You can kill someone like that. You can give a heart attack like that. And that happened to Eli. Who is Eli? He was the high priest. They told him, your sons are killed by the Philistines and they took the Ark of God. When Eli heard that, he fell down and hit his head on the rock and he died. The person can't say bad news. So my brother calls me up. He says, Daddy is very sick. Please come straight, quickly. Now, I knew he passed. I knew. I had this premonition. It was 30 days before. I'm doing Kriya. I'm ripping Kriya. So I knew it passed. I run to the airport. I didn't have much money. I ran to the airport. My passport had expired. 6 months expired. I didn't know I'm going to travel. I didn't think I'm going to travel. It was very sudden. He had a heart attack. Very sudden. He wasn't sick. He was well. I run to the airport. El Al, I need a flight to London straight away. Packed. Full. What other flights are there? There's one to France, Pan Am. Alava Shalom. Remember Pan Am? It was the best airline. Pan Am was the best airline. Nicest people, sweetest people. What a shame. What a tragedy. Pan Am. And they made me sign a waiver. I had to sign a waiver. If they boot you out of the country because your passport expired, you're going to pay your ticket. I had to sign. Then they took me to the police. In Ben Gurion Airport, the Israeli police, to see if I have a record. Why am I running away from the country? You know, I'm in a rush to get out. It's very suspicious. I get a police, they certify me, and I sign the waiver, and they put me on the plane to France. So I'm on a plane to France with an expired passport. I get off in France, passport control. Go through. Now I got to buy a ticket to London. I'm going to the British Airways or Air France to find a ticket. All flights are booked. I go to the guy. It's happened to be a woman over there. The guy in front of me is booked. No seats. I come there. She smiles at me. One seat left. Have you heard of such a thing? Hashem was with me. No question about it. My father's merit. One seat left. Get on the plane to London. I'm going to arrive just for the funeral. Arrived straight for the funeral. Boom. Straight to the cemetery. And that was it. But I go to the airport. Look at the passport. Go through.
They let you go out.
And I'm sure he noticed because you see he's smiling at me. Go through.
Were you thinking anal?
I was thinking I'm doing the mitzvah. That's it. I'm doing this for Hashem. I'm not doing it for myself. My father, mitzvah, kibud avim. It's not. So you do it, you see. Today you can't get away with it. Today it's all computerized. You scan it in, and the computer does it. In those days, computers don't make mistakes, hopefully. But you never know. There's a glitch in the system. You never know. I'm just saying, this is amazing. If you really believe in Hashem, and Hashem's with you, nothing can stand in front of you. Nothing. Nothing can stand in front of you. Look at Moshe goes to Paro. Can you imagine? Chutzpah of going to the king of the world at that time. He was the king of the world. And going in and getting out again. Imagine, he could have killed him. Why didn't he kill him? He didn't have power to touch him. Hashem did not give him the power to touch him. Imagine. You're going into your enemy's fortress and you're coming out alive. You're going in again 10 times. How many are you going? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Think about it. The power of God is the power of God. The person who harnesses the power of God. How do you harness the power of God? And the answer is your beliefs. So number one is Ayin Tova. If you have a good eye, that means you really believe in God. Because why? So he has this. Why can't I can get more? If I have access to the creator of the world, I get whatever I want. And have a good friend, because friends are very important. Peer pressure. You can tell a person by the friends they hang out with. You can tell kids by the friends they're hanging out with. If they're hanging out with good kids, they're good kids. They hang out bad kids, they're bad kids. So Chaver Tov, a very good friend, is very important. Who your friends are. Sometimes your friend is Hashem. You know, David HaMelech, he was on the run all the time. Who's his best friend? God. The only person you can talk to is God. That's the best friend. Rabbi Yossi says, more important than a good friend is a good neighbor. Because neighbors are there with you 24/7. You can't get rid of them. Sometimes you wish you could. So a good neighbor is very, very important. A good neighbor is very important. And so it's better than a good friend because the neighbor's there 24/7. Rabbi Shimon says, more important is Haroe et Hanolad. This is very strange. What's Haroe Hanolad? A person who knows, who can see the future. A person who can see more than one step ahead. That's a wise person. A person can see. They're thinking one step ahead. What do you mean thinking one step ahead? Think of the consequences of your actions. A person is always going to think of the consequence of their actions. Not just what I'm going to do tomorrow. If I do this tomorrow, what's going to happen the next day? For example. Give you an example. We're going to give, because the example is the opposite. I take a loan. So listen, I'll take a loan. I'll take a car loan. And you know what? I have no intention of paying it back. Oh. I'm not going to pay it back. So it may seem like a very good idea. I get free money, right? He says, listen, think of the consequences. You're not paying it back. You're going to ruin your credit. No one's going to give you a loan again. I don't care. I'm not thinking of consequences. I'm just thinking of the here and now. So Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Shimon says, it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not so regular. Rabbi Shimon says, Harut Onelad. It's very important. See the consequences of your deed. The person says, I'm going to buy a house in Somerset. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Somerset's beautiful. I don't know if you know, the Jewish home. It's a very nice area, right? But then the person thinks, but there's no shul, walking distance. Right. There's no Orthodox shul. There's only the old age home. I don't want to pray in the old age home. So there's no shul, walking distance. So I'll drive. Process consequences of your deeds. You're not looking at the nolad. You're not looking at what's going to be born out of this deed. Exactly. Your kids are going to grow up not being religious. Why? They have to drive to shul. Very simple. He said, my father, when he bought a house, he first checked out, how far is it from the shul? I want to walk to shul. How far is it? So a person doesn't think about these things, doesn't look at the consequences. So because of that, the child goes drives the shul. Because of that, child eventually goes and intermarries. So, a person's got to know there's a sequence of events. One of the best stories I've heard is a story from Rabbi Jacobowitz, Allah Bashalom, Chief Rabbi of England. He says this great story. He says, there's an old man sitting at the platform, train platform. And in those days, there's no clocks everywhere, anywhere. The guy had a watch. And a young man comes, sits next to him on the seat. He says, please, sir, can you tell me the time? The guy, no. Puts his watch like that. He said, please, sir, can you tell me the time? He says, no. He said, but sir, he says, you have a watch. Why won't you tell me the time? I'll tell you why, he says. I'll tell you the time. You'll start making conversation with me. You'll sit next to me on the train. You'll find out I have a young daughter who's a beautiful girl, your age. And you'll come and meet my daughter and you'll get married to her. And I don't want my daughter to marry someone who doesn't even have a watch. It's a good joke, but it shows that everything has consequences. It's a slippery slope. Everything starts a slippery slope. Person starts doing this, then they start doing something else. It's a chain of events. So a person who can see the future will not even start the chain of events. It's a chain of events. Everything is a chain of events. And that's why the rabbis made certain restrictions. Right? You can't eat food which is cooked by a Gentile. You can't eat bread which is baked by... Because why? Because it's going to lead to intermarriage. It's going to lead. One, you'll go to his house, you eat his food, you meet his daughter, and you'll... So the same idea. It's a slippery slope. Life is a slippery slope. And that's what he's saying. The person's going to look at the consequences of their act. Not just what they're doing, but also the consequences. You're raising your kids. The most important thing is what school you send them to. If they're not happy in school, change the school. You can't change the kid. You have to change the school. The school has to adapt to the kid. So you have to see the consequences. Otherwise, you're going to grow up hating the way you learned and hating the teachers and hating this and grow up strange. Grow up, rebel. Okay, so what do we have so far? What are the good things? Number one is, the best thing is a good eye. Always look at the bright side of life. Always be an optimist. Always find good things to say about people because you see good things in them. And by the way, people like people who like good them. If you like someone, they'll like you. If you don't like someone, they're not going to like you. Very simple. It's a mirror image. You see your mirror image. If you see the person smiling at you, you like them. If you don't see them smiling at you, you hate them. Very easy. If you go into a job interview like this, you're not going to get the job. Very simple. You go to the job, hi, how you doing? How's everything? You go in there smiling, the world smiles with you. It's a very important idea. Yeah, this is a very beautiful thing. It's a good eye. Number two is a good friend. Number three is a good neighbor. Number four is very deep. Look one step ahead. Think of consequences. Think of what's going to happen if I do this. If I do this, what will be the consequence? If I send my daughter to this school, what will be the consequence? Who will she marry? Who will marry her? What kind of person will marry her? If I send my daughter to this seminary, that's what the people think about. Which shidduch will she get? And today is a different world. Okay, I'm just saying, but think of the consequences. A person's going to think, I'm just giving examples, okay? Think of consequences. My daughter thinks about this all the time. She won't have a cell phone. A cell phone. Chas v'shalom, a smartphone. Chas v'shalom. Ruins all the chances of shidduchim. Because she has a smartphone. No, I'm saying, in this world we're living in, it's a different world. So your shidduch is based on what kind of phone you have. Imagine. So it's a very big, you can say what you want, but I'm just saying how it works. Okay, I'm telling you how it works. Things work. Which is good. You know why? Because a lot of people are being corrupted by these phones. Because of what's not the phone, it's what's on the phone. Have access to. You know, there's certain groups of Jews today who are called, they keep half Shabbat. You know what half Shabbat is? They text on Shabbat. The kids.
What about texting at the Shabbat brachos between the chassan and
that's
the
good. Baruch Hashem.
I've seen that.
At least they're texting each other. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Anyway, Rabbi Lazar says, okay, now we come to the most critical. Left off. Everything goes by your heart. If your heart is good, everything flows from your heart. Or your mind, your thoughts. What is the heart? The Rambam says the heart. When the Torah says your heart, it's talking about the mind. If all your thoughts are good, everything's the best. So all the thoughts are good. The seat of your mind is good. You're always thinking positive thoughts. You're always thinking happy thoughts. You're always thinking good thoughts. That's good. Everything will flow. Everything will flow from there. So that is the most important thing. A good heart. So why? A good eyes flow from a good heart. What you're thinking. When you see something, what are you thinking? It's all flowing from the good heart. Yes?
So how do you get yourself to be so positive?
Exactly, but it's really learning from Nachum Ish Gamzu. Learning from Nachum Ish Gamzu, not to be fazed by anything which happens, and always think Hashem is in control, and Hashem can make even bad things good. And that's interesting. It's part of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan doesn't say Gamzu L'tova. He says Kol Ma De Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid, which is what Rabbi Akiva says. Whatever God does will be for the best. Whatever God does will be for the best. Whatever God does will be for the best. Person smashes a cup. You can say a swear word. Look at what's more powerful: saying a swear word or saying whatever God does will be for the best. No question about it. Just a lot of people. Something happens. They swear. I can't say anything, right? I don't say these words. Try to keep avoid these words. Why? Because if you have a clean mind, clean words lead to clean minds. Dirty words lead to dirty minds. Interesting. Words we say, that's what's going on in the head. So a person says dirty words, it shows they have a dirty mind. A person says clean words, hopefully it'll be change the mind around. So a person's going to think in a certain direction. And that's a good heart. A good heart thinks good thoughts all the time. Good thoughts. What can I do to help people? What can I do to help the world? What can I do to learn, help Hashem? What can I do to learn Torah? What can I do next? What good things can I do? A person's going to think. And I know people like that, and they have the happiest life. Because nothing's eating them up. What ruins a person? Three things ruin a person. What are the three things? We talked about it many times. Jealousy, desire, and ego. So a person has a good heart. There's no jealousy. There's no desire. There's no ego. Very simple. So a good heart means a person has no jealousy. I don't care what you have. Enjoy what you have. Hashem should bless you even more. Why? Because I know Hashem is limitless. I know if God blesses you, it doesn't mean He's not going to bless me. A lot of people think the world is limited. If you know how big the world is, if you're a billionaire, it doesn't mean I can't be a billionaire. Why should I be jealous of you? Because if I have the same opportunities Hashem will give me, I can also be like you. I can be bigger. So it's important not to close yourself in and be with negativity. Because a person with negativity will never grow. A person who's positive, the world's unlimited. Hashem is unlimited. There's unlimited resources. Especially today. Today, with the internet, you can reach the whole world. It's like a person has something to sell. There's unlimited. It's unlimited. So a person thinks, we ruin our own lives by thinking small. You have to think big, not think small. Think big. Pray for Klal Yisrael. Pray for Am Yisrael. Pray for Mashiach. Think big. Think the world will be a perfect place, and the world will be a perfect place. Think big. What can I do to make the world better? Think big, don't think small. So the main thing is a good heart, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says. I agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. The main thing is a good heart, and everything else is included in a good heart. Right? If you have a good heart, you know what to think. Think straight. Think positive. You will have a good friends. If you think positive, you look for good neighbors. If you think positive, you'll have a good eye. And then he tells them, "Suru ezu derech ra'ah." What is the worst thing to keep away from? A person should find, what's the worst thing I want to keep away from this trait? The worst thing to keep away from. Rabbi Eliezer says obviously the opposite. The worst trait is a bad eye. The best trait is a good eye. Everything I see is rose-colored, it's always positive, it's always nice, and I always bless people through my eyes. And the worst trait is a bad eye. I see people that say, how come he has this, and how come she has this, and how come she has that? How come, well, why is God blessing them? It's not right. Why do they have some nice kids? And why my kids are not like that? Why? Always complaining. That's the worst trait. That's Bilam. Bilam. We're bad eyes. Always focusing on the bad. Rabbi Shua says, the worst thing is a bad friend. A bad friend is a person with negative influences on a person. They're hooked up to this person who's giving them bad advice and bad morals and taken to the worst places. Rabbi Yossi says the worst thing is a bad neighbor. Boy, I had a bad neighbor once. I was living in Vancouver. I had a duplex with my little kids running around. And my neighbor who played music at 4 o'clock in the morning would blast, have parties. Every Motzei Shabbat was a party. So one day my cousin was staying with me and he called the police. So we hear the police going next door, knocking on the door, and they're blasting. Can you turn the music down, please? I said, why? Because your neighbors can't sleep. Well, their kids wake us up early in the morning.
But we can't sleep.
So our kids wake them up at 7 a.m., they can keep us up at 4 a.m.
No, it's their logic.
That's a bad neighbor. So, bad neighbor. Rabbi Shimon says, the consequences of one's deeds. A person borrows and doesn't pay back. They don't think of consequences. That's the worst part. Now, it's interesting because he adds something over here. So, a person borrows and doesn't pay back. He's not going to have credit. No one's going to lend to him anymore. He says the same thing happens in our relationship with God. This is very critical because we don't think of our relationship with God as a loan. Everything God gave us is on a loan. This is very critical, right? He gave us good health, it's a loan. He gave us life, it's a loan. He gave us this, a loan. Hashem wants payback. Husbands pay back. You pay back with good deeds. Person doesn't pay back, it's a bad loan. It's credit in God's eyes. One day will be payback time. Whether you borrow money from a person, it's like also you're borrowing from God. Right? So Hashem also paying back. If you don't pay back a person, Hashem also doesn't like you. You're sitting against man and God. But we also have to realize our lives are all debts. We owe a big debt to God. We owe a big debt to God. God did not have to create us. God created us from His own goodwill. And we owe Him a debt. Rabbi Lezer says, the worst thing is a bad mind, bad thoughts. Because everything comes from a poor person's thoughts. So a person has bad thoughts, everything will be bad. Now, this is bad, that's bad. You know the joke of the guy, he joined a cult. In this cult, you're only allowed to say 2 words every year. Not to talk. So after 1 year, he goes to the head of the cult, and the guy says, do you have anything to say? 2 words. And he says, bed hard. 2 words. The next year he goes, anything to say? Food bad. The next year he goes, I quit. And the guy says, listen, I'm not surprised you quit. All you've been saying bad things about us all the time. Whatever he said was bad. So, listen, if a person sees you once a year and all they hear from you is bad things, they think that's all you are about.
Right.
They don't know all the other good things you said in the rest of the year. So it's very important. What we say is how people recognize us. What we think is what eventually is going to come out. So a good heart is a very, very critical thing. To have that good heart. What is a good heart? Some people have good hearts naturally. It's such a blessing to have a good heart, a natural good heart. Some people are mean inside. They don't have a good heart. And our test in the world is to try and change that heart into a good heart. Always want good about people. Now, trouble with good about people, even then you have to think about it. Let me give an example. Children. How much do you help your children? Okay? So obviously we all help our children. But sometimes people help their children too much. And then the children are not independent. They're dependent on their parents all their lives. So there's a limit over here. Is how much do you help and how much do you not help? Because we have to realize a parent's job is to teach your children to be independent. And sometimes we're teaching them to be dependent, and that's... So, sometimes, say, a man says, I don't want to help my child anymore. That's it, help them out. And the wife says, you don't love your child. I'm just giving examples. So now, who has a good heart? Who doesn't have a good heart? So it looks like the guy's not giving because he doesn't have a good heart. No! He's not giving because he has a good heart. He doesn't want to ruin the kid.
Right.
It's a very tight, dichotomy. There's a pull in both directions. And sometimes a person wants to overdo it. They have a good heart and they spoil the kid rotten. They destroy the king. So you have a good heart, you have a problem. Because you don't know limits. That's not a good heart. There's no limits to that. You don't know the consequences of your acts. Okay, I know the consequences of my acts. So if I'm going to stop over here. So if I keep going, you won't come back next week. So stop here. Can you please press the red button? Thank you.